Today on the Cooligans, we are talking about the U.S. Men's National Team Gold Cup journey. They have dominated the group stage, but what do we think? We give some grace to Pochettino, and we try to decide if some other players could actually make a bigger difference.
That's right. And in the second segment, we talk to David Butler, the host, the American and English voice for PSG. I hung out with him a little bit in LA. We talked to him about what it was like winning Champions League. We talk a little bit about Luis Enrique. We talk about what player you would be most scared of to talk to after a loss, and I guessed it correctly. And then in the final segment, we talk about transfer rumors and update you on some big transfers that have happened and figure out where and who some of these guys should be going to and if it's a good move. That and more today on the Cooligans, everybody. So obviously I was not here last week for the end of the week, but the second episode. But that's because I was in Los Angeles performing at PSG House, which is really cool.
Sure. What is PSG House for all of us who may not be aware?
It's a house for a team whose money we don't know how they got. No, it's clearly FIFA received a lot of money from DAZN, right? For FIFA Club World Cup. Now, I'm not going to ask where that money came from. I'm not going to ask any questions. I just know that they got a lot of money. So a lot of money was given to teams to put on events.
Right, right. And to market the tournament market everything.
Most teams created an event space for themselves. Mm-hmm. Part market, part, you know, photograph section or whatever. Like it's an area. So PSG House, there was Casa de Atleti. There was Casa Real. Or Casa Madrid for Real Madrid. There was a couple of these places.
Okay.
I think Botafogo had like a relatively small space. But you got money. All right, use some of that money to put on a space. So PSG hits me up and says, hey, we want you to come do an episode or an interview, which you'll hear later in the show. We want you to come do this, come do that. And why don't you put on a comedy show? And I'm like, all right, who's in LA that I know that loves soccer, so on and so forth? And then it's a bunch of French people, obviously. It's PSG. And they were like, all right. What do you need to do to do a comedy show? And I said, all I really need is a microphone and an area and a spotlight. You know, just give us a light. And they're like, yo, we got you. What they picked was this huge stage with a very large live wall behind me. Mm-hmm. And they have like a bunch of lights. And but the space is like this big cavernous.
Sort like of, a warehouse
like,
type.
It looks like it used to be a car dealership. Mm. And then I think it became like a DC shoe store or whatever. There was a parking lot on the roof. Like it was a crazy store. It's huge, but it's a massive factory essentially.
Yeah, yeah.
Where that's where laughter dies, you know? And they were like, oh, they're going to play highlights of the Champions League.
Sure.
Win.
Lovely, lovely to compete with that.
Have you any idea how bad of a look that would be for the comedian to be standing behind what clearly is, or standing in front of, a much more successful event.
I mean, a competing entertainment product.
Yeah. I mean, I know I'm here to right, entertain right. You and your people. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But don't put Ousmane Dembele scoring goals behind what essentially works out to be four varying sizes of fat guys.
And it could be like at a Beyonce concert, if they're playing PSG Champions League highlights. We all love Queen B more than, you know, probably more than most.
Yeah.
But still, you're going to be distracted by
it. You know what else would be distracting? Is if the back of the goal was a screen during a PSG game and you played Beyonce back then. You know what I mean?
Right. It's not fair to either.
And then I'm trying to explain to them, like, no, in the moment, we're the stars. So, like, don't have anything behind. They're like, I don't even know if you know why you're here, dude. It's PSG House. And I'm like, I get it's your house.
Right, right, right.
Before the hour and a half that I'm on air, could we just not, or that I'm on stage, could we not have highlights behind me?
This is stand-up comedy, the most disrespected art form in the world, I think.
They don't even know why they hire it. You know what I mean? Like, most people put on a comedy show, like, I'm not sure why you're here.
Right, right, right.
The idea is a good idea.
Hey, you know, it's not our first rodeo. We've been around this quite a bit. All right. Well, I'm glad you enjoyed yourself. I went to Fanatics Fest.
Woo!
And I got to hang around Johnny Infantino, speaking of Club World Cup. Johnny Infantino. Infantino was walking around near me.
He knows where the money came from.
Okay, but we ain't asking him, right?
We had no idea. We got no need for to know.
And I also saw John Cena. I saw him. Some people, you know, they have a difficult time seeing him, but I saw him.
Do you know what car John Cena drives?
No, I don't know.
No? What would you guess? He's a very rich man.
And if the Wonder Woman's invisible car. Okay. I don't know.
Seriously.
I don't know.
Or like a luxury car. Like, what would you guess? A big SUV?
A Rolls Royce.
Okay. He drives a Honda Civic Type R.
Okay. Similar to Conan O'Brien, who
he drove a
Ford Sebring or something like that.
No, he Ford Taurus SHO stick shift.
Yeah.
Very famously. Or some people call it the show. It's a single head over cam. That's why. But it was the performance version of the Ford Taurus.
All right, cool. I mean, who needs to know that information?
But it's a Honda Civic.
Well, good for him. All right.
It's pretty cool.
Modest. What a modest guy.
Well, no, it's a Type R. It's like a $70,000 car.
Okay. You know what? He's a one percenter. He's part of the elite. I had it was a wild time at Fanatics Fest as well. So, all right. Let's get the show going. Welcome to the Cooligans, everybody. My name is Christian Polanco.
Hey, I'm Alexis Guerrero. Can I do it? Can I say I'm excited for today's show? We got a lot to talk about.
All right. Well, look, it doesn't really sound believable when he does it.
I don't believe you when you do it. That's how I was trying to relax.
But the audience does, okay? Yeah. They can't see the death behind my eyes.
The disdain for having to work with me? Damn.
But we have a hot show today because we're joined by special guest. You were out in Los Angeles at PSG House doing some comedy, but you got to do an interview with the homie David Butler. David Butler is a presenter at PSG. When we went to PSG, they have like English content or in-stadium announcer. They have in English and French.
Right, somebody like Sacre Bleu, and then somebody is like, hey, yo! David Butler is the hey, yo part.
Fam, you know? The
what's up, everybody?
Fam guy, that's David Butler. So you spoke to him out in Los Angeles and talked about
Let me preface all this by saying, this man is American, but now he's lived and worked in Europe for so long, you cannot tell where he's from, dog.
He's a Euro snob. Yeah, for real. Full on. But we're going to hear from him a little bit later. Let's get started today with the U.S. men's national team.
Let's talk about it. Because, yes, the U.S. men's national team won all three games in the group stage.
It did.
It went undefeated. They only let in one goal, two clean sheets out of those three games. It's absolutely wonderful. But was it good enough? How good of a job has Mauricio Pochettino done? We got to give him a grade. And that's why it's today's top topic, everybody.
Let's go. So,
So I'm going to ask you, Mauricio Pochettino, won all three games, right? Top of the group, only let in one goal, two clean sheets. But still, though, what grade would you give him?
I'm going to do just like the college football rankings, you know, the strength of schedule.
Mm.
That's going to be a factor for me. So I'm not going to give a very high grade. I'm going to say a C+. I'll do. Because
C+
the competition that we faced, we expected to win. The one where I want to give credit is in the game against Saudi Arabia, which I did think it was, you know, they defended well. It was a tough game, but we got through it, right? And won that game 1-0. So that one I want to give credit to, but I haven't seen enough in these three games because I still have the two friendlies before the Gold Cup, like fresh in my mind.
Right. So you're grading on a curve.
Yeah. Okay. So that's why it's a C+ for me.
Is it grading on a curve or grading on a curb?
It's a curve. Curve. Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Well, you know what? There's no dumb questions, right?
I test that theory quite often. I'm going to give him a little bit of a better grade. I'm going to go B because you can only play the teams that have been put in front of you.
Right.
They did not request this group. They simply were given this group. So if you're going to win three out of the three matches, and you're going to look pretty good in the hardest one, the one with your best competition, then I'm going to suddenly feel a little bit more positive about the outcome. But there's still some questions as to plays in certain positions. I'm all for giving, if you're going to bring in a squad that's younger, less experienced, whether, you know, we've talked back and forth about whether that was the desire or not, but if that's what you're going to walk in with, I'm cool you giving minutes. But there's still some players where I'm like, man, this just ain't, it ain't up to snuff. And I don't know what you as a national team manager can do. You're not a club manager. You know what I mean? Yeah. You don't have all this amount of time. I don't really know what you can do to unlock something better, but can you put players in better positions? Can you create a system that will take advantage of players' best assets? I don't know, maybe it's half of this and half of that. But
we've had these conversations. I just don't think the roster that is available to him is, I just don't think is good enough.
But we have so many players.
That preliminary roster, when you see it's like 70 guys, and it's like there's not 26
one of y'all
solid. Like even in the B, quote unquote B team, like you would think, but they're really. I think the drop off is pretty high from those A team to the second one.
There is, and I agree with you, but there is there's a section of player that didn't even make it on the squad, right? Like Tanner Tessman is a good example.
Yeah.
For some reason, not in the squad, where I'm like, I know he better than some of the other options available.
Sure, but then there's also if Tanner Tessman is there, do you really think the game looks that drastically different? No, I'd say that about a lot of the players that are not there, and even with some of the players that are on the bench, there's not really somebody that's definitively why isn't he playing? Why isn't he off the bench? Because
I'm cool with Patrick Adjiman getting minutes and us finding really a baptism by fire, right? Like really finding out what you really got in these moments. But there are moments in these games where I'm watching him, mishit a cross, diagonal cross back into the top of the box or something, where I'm like, there's got to be somebody, you know what I mean? Who maybe doesn't have the other attributes he has, but can do those little things.
Yeah, and we all watch the games like that, and we get frustrated at certain moments or certain players. But Adjiman is a great example of he'll miss a great opportunity or doesn't necessarily take a great touch on a good pass or a through ball or something. I mean, the 1v1 that he missed against Haiti, even though it was probably going to be called offside, but it's just you just want to see the ball go in the back of the net just for the sake of your own confidence. And he ended up scoring the game winner. But
it's a grab the bull by the horns thing. And I'm sitting here wondering, where are you grabbing this
but
ball?
But even against,
it ain't the horns,
against Saudi Arabia, against Haiti, his physicality is clearly his best asset.
Right.
And he is a problem for defenders where he's physically imposing, pushes them off the ball, and he's also very fast. So that is incredibly useful, but
I'm cool
details,
with him being an athlete and
the
a
little
unit,
details.
But can you be a footballer at the same time?
Even that, I think he's a footballer.
I'm not saying he isn't.
A striker. We know what a striker looks like. And it's Balogun is a better example of he does not need a lot of touches. He can set himself up for shots and good shots. We can always have the conversation of finishing or service and blah, blah, blah. But Adjiman is just—it's just not refined yet, and maybe it will.
Do you think Balogun would have done more with the service that Adjiman has gotten so far in these three games?
I think so. But then there's also—I could also say Balogun probably may have not been able to create the space that Adjiman has. So it would have been a difference.
Six of one, half a dozen of the other. That's how I'm looking at it. I don't necessarily think that makes. I don't know that changes anything about from what we've seen already. At this point, we should probably ask the question. Malik Tillman, to me, has been the star of these last three games.
Yeah. I mean, he is the one that is, and it's interesting because from the World Cup where he couldn't get minutes, and even before that under Berhalter, it's just not.
He looked tentative when he did get minutes. He does not anymore.
He does not now. Yeah. And that's what I want from pretty much any national team. But
how about all the players?
If you're on the national, it's like when, I always hear NBA players talk about this when they played in they were the best in their high school, or the best in their state, in their region, and they completely dominant. And then they play in the McDonald's game that all the high schoolers playing. Yeah. And then they're like, oh, whoa, everybody's good here or whatever. Or NFL players are like, oh, this guy's all American and blah, blah, blah. The U.S. men's national team should be 11 players who all want the ball. who all are like, not want the ball for selfish reasons.
Sure.
Want the ball and like, yo, give me the ball. I can make a difference in this game.
Right, right, right.
But when players are nervous or tentative, it just tells me like, oh, they're not ready to be on the national team, but they're not ready to like really make a difference.
They're not ready to be a star on the national team. And that's right. What we need. We need 11 players that are exceptional.
So it's great to see that growth, especially from Tillman, of like, he is just now, he just doesn't seem nervous. There's a little bit of, he's on the pitch like, yo, I'm the best player on the
100%,
pitch. 100%. I love just seeing that.
Yeah, he's just like, yeah, why don't I have a ball right now? Okay. I'm so much better than everybody here. But that's the bravado that we want,
right?
Which begs the question, would Gio Reyna make this team better?
I mean, I guess he might bring that bravado, right, a little bit. But Gio Reyna is in a...
Yes or no? Would Gio Reyna make this team better?
The Gio Reyna in my brain that I remember seeing?
Yeah.
Yes, he would.
And that's why I'm saying no. Because the Gio Reyna in your brain and the Gio Reyna in my brain is him balling out. Is him... He's one of the sauciest, one of the most, you know, incisive players that we have. He's one of the most skilled technicians in the midfield we've ever created as a nation from those little moments we've seen. But can he put that together? Can he get his head straight and get minutes on the pitch? This dude ain't played in forever.
Yeah, and now
would he be able to come into the national team and ball out? There's been times where he has, right? Nations League, he didn't play much for his club, came in and balled out. But Malik Tillman is balling at a level we haven't seen in a long time. I don't know that Gio Reyna adds anything on top of that now.
It's frustrating, and I misspoke on the last episode because I said Gio Reyna wasn't called up to the Club World Cup squad for Dortmund. He is on the Club World Cup squad, but he has not played.
He's not playing.
They should have just let him go to the Gold Cup.
Let him go to Gold
Cup. If they weren't going to play him. Yeah. So
or get minutes... Get minutes on the Club World Cup.
Oh, but Jude Bellingham's little brother's there now.
Joe, bro. How many Bellinghams are going to stop America?
We got to stop letting these English take our jobs.
Yeah.
They're taking our jobs away.
Damn.
You know how it is.
Actually, if only we could take a job away.
We need to get our jobs back. But no, it's frustrating.
You're saying we need to cool him down, so maybe put him on ice, is what you're saying?
Alexis, that is offensive, all right? You've taken it too far.
Is that what you're saying? I'm just trying to parse what you're saying.
No, man, it's frustrating to, for a player like that to not be able to play, in the Gold Cup, and we understand why, and then he's just not being used at all. Look, it screams like that there's bigger issues with Dortmund and between him and the club, and clearly they're going to move on from him. So clearly, it might be just one of those things, we're not playing him because we're going to sell him and we don't want him to get injured or something like that. But it's a frustrating situation. So
I don't even know who'd buy him at this point. You got to play in order to get bought.
I don't know. Yeah, I talked about Okupo, MLS seemed to be an option. I saw I forgot who, the crew fan, he's a diehard fan of ours, but he said he has to get ready to be playing against FC
Andrew
Cincinnati
Johnson?
Too. Andrew Johnson, yeah. But he had retweeted something about Dortmund, because of the heat wave that's happening on the East Coast. Dortmund, in their previous game, I forgot who they played against, but the players on the bench watched the game
from inside,
from in the locker room, because they obviously didn't want to be completely, destroyed when they actually got called in, which is just a fascinating way to experience a game that you're going to be a part of.
Yeah.
It's like we were watching a game on TV
and then they asked us to get in there. We're like, what? No, what?
I just got my flip flops on, bro.
Damn, bro. I just made popcorn.
Are you ready for this? But the US is going to be facing Costa Rica on Sunday, right?
Sunday.
Sunday at 7 Eastern time. And we can announce...
It's supposed to be Saturday.
It was, yeah. I think it got moved. But it's going to be on Sunday. And after the game, we're going to be going live here on the Cool Games YouTube channel. So if you're listening to this, join us right after the game. We're going to be doing a live broadcast. So we'll take your questions, your comments, and we'll talk about how the game against Costa Rica went. Costa Rica did face Dominican Republic a couple days ago, and DR did score. They ended up losing 2-1. But they scored against
2-1 ain't bad.
2-1 again. Scoring against Keylor Navas is no joke. Some player, some people call the best player that CONCACAF has ever created, which is a fair statement. Won a lot of Champions Leagues with Real Madrid and all that stuff. But yes, so a reminder: join us on Sunday right after the game, right after the final whistle. Come YouTube.com/soccercooligans and join us. All right.
Well, you get to hang out with us after a game. Is that what you've always wanted?
Exactly. You put it's it crazy. On. It's what you had it on
your vision board.
On your vision board, on your Christmas
Look
list.
Look at you generating manifester. Manifesting generator, whatever that thing is, huh?
Okay.
Look at us trying to be more more universal.
An interesting stat here. Shout out to Statman Carter. It says Haiti. So it's been a while since Haiti scored in the first half of a competitive match against the U.S. men's national team. And they had so that goal that they scored, obviously Matt Freeze gave the ball away. You know, we can talk about what led to giving the ball away. But the last time that happened in the first half of a competitive match was 1969. Was that the moon landing?
Yeah, dude. we were distracted. Also, what national team did the U.S. field in 1969? You're nowhere near qualifying for a World Cup for another 20 years.
Buzz Aldrin was on the U.S. men's national team and an astronaut.
So, he said a small step for the national team, giant step for Haiti. That's crazy.
Hi, Buzz. Damn, bro. Bars.
Yeah. Didn't remember Buzz. Buzz Aldrin died not so long ago. Remember when he punched someone in the face because he said that the moon landing was fake?
You do vaguely remember that. Yeah,
dude, Buzz got sturdy. Like, don't take his accomplishment away, bro. So, he straight punched through right in his mouth. Bro.
So, Haiti, so first goal in the first half for a very long time. I don't think it's really anything to be that embarrassed about outside of like, it was just it was a hot ball from Tim Ream.
That's what I'm saying. All right, so look. I'm not going to sit here and say that Matt Freeze is not to be blamed.
Yeah, there's some accountability, some responsibility there.
Simply for the Haiti player getting the ball in the position he did, whether he could have done a better job of defending that. I think he was trying to, you know, he was trying to defend the near post, and then you got caught with a curler. What are you going to do? But what percentage of blame would you put on Tim Ream? Because I would put about 70% of the blame on Tim Ream.
I think that's a bit high. I'll put 60.
Nah, he sent him a squibber, dude, a squib ball.
It was a little bit,
a squib kick.
It was bouncing. It was
bouncing, and it had English on it, bro.
Yeah, so he I think it caught Matt Freeze in like, it looked like he wanted to pass the ball to John Tolkien.
John Tolkien, who was open. This was a smart decision.
On his on Matt Freeze's left foot, he's not left-footed.
And he got a left
It was like,
footed.
It was a, he couldn't decide whether to take some sting out of the ball and like take a touch or immediately pass it. And you could tell the decision he ended up making was
he was under pressure. So I don't know that a touch there would have helped, but
he didn't know what to exactly do. So because he didn't pass it with any force.
Beating it into the row Z would probably be the best decision there.
Exactly. A solid yeet would have been the right move.
Hit him with a fuakata in that moment and you good. But the decision to pass the token, I don't think is a bad one. The ball's coming in it's bouncy and it's sort of twisting the way like a bowling ball does.
Right.
It's just not a smart. It wasn't a great pass to him.
Yeah, and look, we all learn some hard lessons sometimes, and that was one of them.
One time I said, "I don't care," to my mother. Learned a lot. Learned a rough one, that boy.
I hope Matt Freeze doesn't talk to Pochettino like that.
I said, bro, chocolate don't taste good, bro.
So it probably for some people called into question because I already saw a lot of the tweets. Like, get Matt Turner in there, and the unfortunate situation for Matt Turner is that he has not played. And
hold on a second. This man has given up one goal in three games. Get Matt Turner in there. Everybody relax.
I mean, you know how the internet is, bro.
Matt Turner got some burners, bro. Matt Burners, bro.
So, all right. So we should think about what for these knockout matches, this lineup was a little bit different than some of the other ones. So Pochettino is mixing things up a little bit, and I don't know. I don't know if it's a little bit of like they had already moved on. There wasn't any real question. There wasn't any question about moving on into the quarterfinals. But were the changes because of resting some of the other players or because this might be a better roster? Mm-hmm. And there were a couple things I did like. I did like Brendan Aaronson starting. I think he just brought a different energy and the chemistry. He ended up getting the assist for the first goal to Malik Tillman. And so that was like good to see.
Token over Arvidsson.
Token over. We can show our we have our lineup. So yeah, I think preferred.
We only have one different player on our lineup.
Yeah, let's take a look at Alexis's lineup for the upcoming match against Costa Rica. You want to go through it?
Yeah, for me, I'm putting Arvidsson back in as your starting left back. I'm keeping the center backs the same with Richards and Ream. I'd probably swap their positions based on what you see on camera. But as far as I'm concerned, I'm not a huge fan of Ream at this age being a starter, but he does offer some solidity.
Yeah.
So I'm cool with that. Freeman, let's keep going with the experiment. Let's see
it makes me nervous a little bit.
Yeah, yeah. Look, I mean, if this was the World Cup, you wouldn't be on my starter squad. But all right, let's see what else you got. I'm gonna stick with Luca Della Torre and Tyler Adams. I'm gonna let y'all cook back there. You decide who goes forward. Most likely Tyler Adams, box to box and whatnot. But also he's a pit bull and he can defend. I'm going Tillman central, and I know he started on the left. Swapping slots, I'm more comfortable with him at the cam, and I'm digging Brendan Aaronson. I'm digging Jack McGlynn. And I'm digging
Adjumang.
What are you going to do there, right? Okay. Adjumang is getting a little bit more run out.
All right. Let's look at my roster because there's not too many differences except the back line is all the same. Arvidsson on the left, Freeman on the right. Richards, Ream, Matt Fries. I'm also looking at Matt. That's Matt Turner's face, but Matt Fries's name. So we'll fix it in post. All good. Tyler Adams, Luca Del Torre, and then here's where we differ in the midfield. I went with Diego Luna as the attacking midfielder. Tillman on the left. Send him forward. He I love the confidence, and I think maybe him a little less responsibility in the buildup would be good. And Diego Luna, I think, will do that job incredibly well. And Brendan Aaronson on the right instead of Jack McGlynn and Patrick Adjumang up front. So I like this. The missing piece here is that Jack McGlynn, those 30-yard bombers bombs that he can send are incredibly useful. But I think the skill set that Aaronson brings, I think it might be a little bit more useful against Costa Rica. I think both lineups are pretty good. I mean, this is where Pochettino can, I think, tinker a little bit, especially up top.
I don't disagree. And I don't hate your starting lineup. I wouldn't be upset with it. But the reason I put Jack McGlynn there is because simply when you're going to go up against a low block, and that's exactly what Costa Rica is going to do, sometimes, you know, just a screamer from outside the box.
Sure.
Sometimes you don't got to break down a low block if you go around him with a beautiful shot. And that he does all for that. And I do think with a little bit more time, he can find that chemistry that seemingly Aaronson was able to pick up pretty quickly.
Yeah, it's just that the athleticism of Jack McGlynn is where I worry a little bit.
Yeah.
I think
you're forgetting something really important. He's a Knicks fan. You know what I mean? And that.
Gotcha.
At the end of the day, right? Isn't that important?
Okay. Well, this changes everything. Yeah. All right.
I mean, I'm glad finally you're admitting it.
You know, we need 11 Jack McGlynns out there, I think.
How about 10 and one Jalen Brunson, bro?
Okay. All right. We're going to talk to David Butler. You're going to talk to David Butler.
I'm going to go hang out with David Butler. I'll be right back.
Alex is going to go fly to Los Angeles real quick. So nobody go anywhere.
The budget's crazy these days, y'all.
Let's see how it goes. Here's Alexis' conversation at PSG House with David Butler.
All right, everybody. Thank you so much for checking this out. I'm here with the homie. Look at me. First of all, I'm in LA. I'm wearing shorts. The knees are out. It's a wild time. Everybody's trying to feed me salads. It's a wild place out here. I'm with the homie, the one, the only. I mean, I've known this guy for years at this point. This is the first time we're linking up in America.
bruh. He had to bring the whole squad to America, the one, the only, David Butler, everybody.
What's good, man? What's good?
Bro, your come up is crazy.
I admit it is. Even I am like, I can't believe I'm here.
This is how important it is for me that this is happening to you. On national television, I said, while PSG was out of basically the league phase, close to getting bumped out, I said, PSG is going to win the Champions League.
And that's people huge.
Like, yo, you crazy. I said this, and I had that in the back of my head. I was like, bro, I told you the whole time it's happening. I said, I told you. And then the moment that I knew the whistle was about to blow, because it was kind of a blowout, the first thing I thought about was you. And I said, bro, I was wrong. PSG didn't win the Champions League. My guy David won the Champions League. Talk to me about just that moment when that happens and, like, you're associated with now. Yeah. That's got to feel different than all the other times you've watched a Champions League trophy get lifted.
It was incredible, man. It was incredible. I mean, my position for all the Champions League matches is just behind the goal that PSG is attacking. And through the beginning of the season, when the team was kind of losing all those games, it was like, whoa. I mean, they're playing really well, but they're still losing. And I remember when we went through against Brest, it was 10-0, okay, whatever. After that, I told my friends, if we beat Liverpool, PSG will win the Champions League. Some of my friends, I mean, they're football fans in the States, they could be football fans in New Zealand, Amsterdam, whatever, they're going, That's a hot take. But I just felt confident in it. So
they thought you were bugging.
Yeah, they thought I was bugging.
They're like, are they listening to your phone call right now, dog?
It was good. Like, are you just biased? I said, nah, I actually believe this because PSG is playing some really good football. Anyway, at the end of the season, when it happened, when the final whistle actually went, to be honest, during the match at 2-0, so I've been here at PSG for 3 years. So I've seen when PSG has gone 2-0 up in some matches or it looks like PSG is about to go to the next stage and something happens and they lose. So when they were 2-0 up, I'm sitting there with my colleague. We're both behind the goal, and we're like, not yet. At 3-0, we're like, oh, shit. Is this real? And then at 4, we knew it was about to happen. When the final whistle went, to be honest, it just felt nuts, bro. It just felt like it took me 2 days after to process what had happened.
And that was my next question, because I had a moment in 2021. I was in London. Watch the NYCFC have a playoff game. They win, go to the finals. I'm thinking, oh, that's crazy. The club reaches out to Christian and I and said, we want you guys to come to the final. They were going to give us GoPros and do like from the stands. I'm like, all right, yeah, but I'm in London. And they're like, can you get here? I was like, yeah, I'll be there. I fly to New York, 8-hour layover, switch my bags, go straight to Portland. I get there like 3 hours before the match. It's crazy, right? The game went. The game, obviously, New York City FC wins. I'm like, this is amazing. Next thing I know, I'm partying with the player. I'm like,
that's crazy.
I'm with the team. And that experience blew my mind. You're with like global superstars. Yeah. You're partying. The release from these players, the difference from like the super professional, yo, everything for the pitch, to that release when they win. What was that moment like? Obviously, you don't have to give me specifics, right? We keep some of that stuff. Some of that stuff ain't for the public, but what's that? What is it like seeing the people you see? Like, yo, this dude trains so hard every day, but right now he acted a fool. Right now,
to be honest, like I think the first moment was just kind of in the dressing room, and so first you celebrate on the pitch, obviously, and that part is like the fans are there. I mean, they're lifting the trophy. That part is already like, am I actually here? Am I actually seeing this?
Did you keep some confetti?
I kept something else. Now that my I'm going to get in trouble.
Yo, you're on work. You're at work right now.
I'm saying this. I'm going to get in trouble for saying this. Sorry, Loic. I had to keep. Loic is the one of the bosses here. I had to keep something from the final, and I kept a Champions League bib by accident, you know? I saw it at the bottom of my bag when I got home, but I needed to keep it.
Yo, some of y'all don't realize.
Sorry, Loic.
The way a Latin mom treats her silverware is the way these clubs treat these bibs, bro.
No, it's serious.
If you even scratch the bib, serious. You're done.
Like, UEFA's like, yo, bring us back our bib right now, you know? But that was my souvenir besides, like, a photo. And, I mean, just in the dressing room after the final whistle went, the celebrations are nuts. You know, everyone's standing up, chanting, singing. And then, obviously, you have an after party, and obviously I'm not going to go into details, but for these guys, like, this is a dream come true for most of these players. I mean, for some of the players, it's like, oh my God, I just want to play in the Champions League. Think about Pacho, it's his first season with PSG. I don't know if he played in the Champions League at all before this season. and to win it in your first season, like just to see their release is crazy.
That's what they picture when they're kids.
Oh, exactly right.
You know, like exactly when they're kids, they're scoring a penalty at the end of the Champions League or whatever. They're lifting the trophy and they got that moment. It must have been crazy. I don't know.
So win like that as well, 5-0. Like, I think for a lot of
it's
these
almost
players,
too much time to know you've won Champions League.
Exactly.
Final. Yeah.
Exactly. I would think like it probably would have switched in a lot of their heads after Liverpool when they won in penalties. So losing at home 1-0 and then going away to Anfield, like a crazy atmosphere.
Mm-hmm.
Winning 1-0, then winning on penalties. I think in their head in that moment, it must have been, oh yeah, we're close. Yeah, we're close. We're for real now.
Yeah, and yeah. I was at the Emirates when PSG lost to Arsenal early in the Champions League.
Yep.
And I was with Arsenal like execs, and I told one of them, like, that's not the PSG we might meet again.
Yeah.
If this happened. Like, that was an anomaly because it was kind of still learning. And the reason I had a lot of confidence in PSG was specifically because one of my favorite coaches in the world, one of my favorite people in the world, is Luis Enrique.
Yeah, it's incredible.
Bruh, you get a chance to talk to him in a way that I probably never will.
Yeah.
Even though he did raid me once. He raided Cooligans once on Twitch, which is really cool. It's a really cool moment for Cooligans. Is he as eccentric or way more eccentric than he lets off on some of these videos?
Listen, I think he is eccentric, but I definitely think he's 100% himself. And that's what I love so much about Luis Enrique. And also just the work that he's done here. Because as I said, I'm going into my fourth year here at the club. And it's not just only down to Luis Enrique, but the unity he's built, not just in his team,
mm-hmm.
but with the media, with the whole club, with everyone at the training center. It's incredible. And of course, I've spoken to, I mean, there's been pictures and stuff of kind of him walking around the training ground in barefoot or with his shirt off, and he likes to feel grounded.
Yo, he shows up like Lance Armstrong, right?
He rides his bike. He bikes in. But for him, what I can gather and what he's spoken about is how important the mental side of everything is in terms of his success in daily life. He wants the players to feel comfortable. He wants them to be mentally strong. Like, I don't think I've seen a coach in my kind of career in this football industry, 7-8 years, whatever, I don't think I've seen a coach like this. And I think he's truly a special person. Yeah.
I get the sense of that. And I watch a lot of his videos and I hope to speak to him one day because I just feel like he's the type of dude that, like, you ask him any question and he will circle around to some piece of advice that you're probably going to hold on for a long time.
No, exactly right. Exactly right. I think he's a really clever person. And I think I would sit there and watch all his press conferences and I'll just be there. You know, when you just shake your head and you go, that guy's got it. He knows what he's doing.
Yeah.
I watch his press conferences and he's like a step ahead of the journalists every single time.
He's playing chess,
man. Yeah. He has not the right answer. Like, oh, this is what you want to hear. But sometimes it's like, that's not what they wanted to hear, but it was absolutely what they needed to hear.
Yeah.
And he does this so much.
He feels like one of those guys that he's not doing like coach speak.
Yeah.
But he's somehow working around your answer to get back to the point he wants.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I love it. He's in control.
I absolutely love it. I also, obviously, we're surrounded by PSG employees and executives. So I'm gonna say what I'm about to say lightly. Well, the most amount of confidence that I had in him came from the way he handled superstars last season.
Yeah.
Okay. That's all I'm going to say. Some huge cojones, right? As a Latino, I'm like, yeah. Yo, this dude is making some big decisions.
100%.
But for it to come to fruition, the next time you talk to him, tell him there's a dude in Brooklyn who absolutely admires the hell out of him.
I will.
Hopefully he gets that. Your career, right? You started out, when I met you, you were at 433.
Yep.
I said, who the hell is this American dude in this wild, mysterious Instagram account? Obviously, you go to IX, you're at PSG. You've grown from talking to a phone to talking in front of stadiums,
yeah,
and millions of people on lives. Talk to me about your career, dog. Like, what do you see next for yourself? Talk to me about your growth.
Yeah, career progression thus far has been crazy because, as we would have discussed the first time that I came on Cooligans, I was not even meant to be in front of camera. It wasn't my career path.
You want to go pro?
Yeah. I wanted to play footy. Yeah. I thought it was good enough. I didn't have the mentality. And to be honest, I didn't have the skill level to get there either. But
you and me both, my guy.
Yeah. That's how it goes, you know?
I just didn't even try, though. You tried. You gave it an attempt.
I was just about to blame my knees. Yeah. I have no injuries. But nah, I mean, I just didn't expect to be there. I was expecting to be just a marketing guy. And when I left the States, I basically said, listen, if I can go to one football match while I moved, when I move to Europe, I'll be happy. If I can work in marketing in football, I'll be happy. Both of those things have happened. It's been an absolutely crazy ride. I never would have thought that I would be in this position. And to be honest, like, I can talk in front of a camera. I don't really get that nervous. I can talk with the players. I don't get nervous at all because I've been in dressing rooms my whole life. So I understand that. It's actually when I have to speak in front of, I was just telling you before, big crowds of people in front of a stadium, whatever. If I know that my voice and my face is over the speaker, I'm like, whoa. That's when I start to get a little bit nervous. So I don't know. I mean, it's really, really easy in front of a camera. It's really easy with the players, but I still definitely get nervous in front of crowds.
Really?
Yeah, definitely.
Well, you saw the comedy show last night. That's when I'm most comfortable. Yeah, when I'm on stage. My voice is amplified. None of y'all are. Y'all paying attention to me? I'm happy, bro. That's my moment right there. I could do that for hours.
That's so interesting. That's why I asked you that question after. Just like, how do you deal with the crowd, you know? If it's not going well, how do you deal with the crowd and just say, keep going?
Have you ever seen, this is going to sound like, I'm going to sound like Joe Rogan for a second. I don't mean to, but you ever see like the video that renders, like it gives you an example of like what a hawk or an eagle sees, like mainly a hawk, like when it like zooms in almost.
Yeah.
Like that almost happens. Like you get tunnel vision when you're on stage.
I feel you.
And I love it. Like I go into the zone where I'm like, I'm one-on-one. And if somebody pops up and it's like, tries to heckle me or whatever, I'm like,
here we go.
My body's like, oh, I get to use all these skills I've set aside for this moment right now. You have this thing where you not only are good in front of camera, but you build rapport with players so quickly. Mm. You seem like a fun dude to hang out with. I know that you are, right? I get to hang out with you, but you can see that on camera. Do you enjoy talking to players? Does that feel like a chore?
No, that's the part I love, I would say. That's the part that feels most comfortable to me because I think the first thing I learned in this whole kind of industry with footballers was like, and so many people have now said it because this market, there's more and more creators and more people working with footballers, that the easier you're able to treat them as regular people, as you're just talking to your friends, like that makes them feel so at ease. And I think that is probably a strength of mine. And I'm probably not able to articulate it as well as I probably should be able to. But I would say that probably one of my strengths is making them feel comfortable, making them feel as if it's just us kind of in the room. Don't worry about the camera. And I would say, like, I would definitely say I agree with you in terms of building rapport. And one of the ways that I think I've been able to do that is I never really want to ask for anything, not even like a photo from them. Just want to show them, listen, you can trust me. I'm not going to ask you for anything. I know a lot of people in your life are asking for stuff. I just want to do what we have to do work-wise, and let's go.
Let you get on with your life.
That's it.
I got to get what I got to get, and then you can go
That's
on.
That's it.
Which player from this squad, I think, has surprised you the most with how open they are in interviews or how comfortable they are? Or how maybe how funny? Who's the funniest?
Well, I would say funniest, in my opinion, the person that makes me laugh a lot is Kimpembe. He's a lot behind the scenes.
Really?
Yeah, I really like Kimpembe. One of the players that surprised me a lot over the past two seasons has probably been Dembele, Ousmane Dembele.
Really?
Yeah.
Because, he seems pensive.
Yeah, he is. But he's also, he is pensive. He's super aware. He understands what's going on. But also, this is just my personal opinion. I would say he's grown into such a leader for this team. I think even when he came in after the transfer, it was, you know, like I wanted to kind of, I said to him, hey, listen, I know a friend worked with you at Barcelona, Aviv, and told me to say hello, basically. And obviously the first couple interactions with him, it was a bit reserved.
Yeah.
So I was thinking, I don't know.
Well, he don't know you.
Yeah, he doesn't know me. And I was like, maybe I gave him a bad first impression type of thing, but after a while, as he started to warm up, what surprised me was I'm not going to say he took me under his wing, but he made it clear, like, yo, you're supposed to be here. I'm supposed to be here. Let's get along. Let's shoot the content we have to shoot. And I would say, like, that relationship with Dembele, just him and I, probably surprised me the most just because I was like, I'm also a bit reserved myself. So I was like, maybe he's not really feeling it. I'm just going to hang back.
Are you going to lie to people? You reserved?
I'm a bit reserved myself.
I think if you call yourself reserved, bro, I don't know if you know the definition of reserve. The fact that you and I get along shows you're not reserved. I'm about as type A as it gets.
You know what I mean? I don't know how to... I would say like I'm like definitely an extrovert person, but I'm also at the same time introverted.
Yeah, you know what you are? You're one of these, I need to go recharge my battery.
Yeah, 100%.
I don't. I never have to.
I'm like, I need to...
My wife is like, my wife is a lot like you. You've met her before. We've hung out. She'll be the life of the party. And then she's like, all right, I'm in for 24 hours. Now.
That's it. That's me.
Not me. I'm like, yo, what's next? What's next?
I can't do it.
Yeah, I didn't get hugged enough as a kid, bro. You told me who's the funniest or at least has the most personable. Mm. Who's the one player on the squad that after a loss and the team's like, yo, you got to get content. You're like, I don't want to bother them right now because they take this to the heart.
Oh, man. I would say
I'm gonna guess. I'm gonna look at the camera and guess. Don't look at the screen.
I don't know who you said. There are a few players I would not necessarily want to talk to after a loss. One would be the captain, Marquinhos, obviously.
Let's go! Let's go! Let's go! Bro!
I'm not trying to see him after a loss.
Yeah, dude, he looks like it, bro. I feel like big smile on his face.
Yeah.
The moment a whistle's blown on a loss, I'm like, yo, that's a different person.
No, man. I mean, you know, Ashraf, I'm not trying to see these guys after a loss. I have a funny story. I don't know how funny it is, but it's not really that funny. But after the Champions League, we lost to Madrid at the Bernabeu. We won 1-0 at the Parc des Princes. We go to the Bernabeu. We're 1-0 up in that match. So we're 2-0 up on aggregate.
Mm-hmm.
Real Madrid, it was like 60 minutes in the game. I'm sitting next to my colleague behind the goal again. And I said, listen, if we make it to 65, we're through. I think minute 64 hits. Benzema scores the first one. I think it was Benzema or Vinny. I can't remember. Either way, they come back in the game. They win it. They win the tie.
I remember this game.
This was probably the most awkward moment. This is after a loss, yeah? So we go to the airport. We're flying back to Paris that night. And for some reason, this night, the players and the coach go on the plane before us. So the staff is entering the plane after the players. And for me, I'm known as like the funny, smiley guy on YouTube, right? But here we have all these players sitting on the plane, like fully disappointed after a loss.
And we're talking a loss in Champions League. They didn't lose to like Le Havre.
Right.
You know what I mean? No disrespect. But what I'm saying, they just lost at the Bernabeu in the Champions League.
This is a huge...
After being up.
Right. So my whole thing, as we're speaking about not wanting to see players after the loss, if I could just paint the scene for you, I'm not going to name names. All these stars are on the plane already. So I get onto the plane. I look up and I see all of their heads like sitting in their seat. I'm just like, do not make eye contact with a single... person.
Bruh.
Straight down like
this. You just look at my own feet as I walk past these dudes.
This was the most awkward like 30 seconds of walking in my life, but I just kept my head down, no smiles, and it was just like, just get me through it. So you definitely just don't want to see these guys after a loss. They're competitors. They want to win everything.
Yeah, I think it's hard to explain how competitive these dudes are. Yeah. All players, like, I get to hang out with a lot of the women's national team players, a lot of the dudes that are playing for New York City FC or the men's national team, and most fun, free-loving, everyone's having a great time. They know I'm a comic, so they're like, oh, if I can make a comedian laugh, like, I have really great relationships with a lot of these players. The moment there's a loss,
nope.
It's like, yo, it's like, you know, you ever be at your boy's house when you were young and they got in trouble in front of you? You know, like, they don't want to look at you, you know what I mean? It's that feeling of like, oops. I saw that. Do I leave? Do I stay?
What do I say?
Do I hug you? Like, exactly. Tell me what to do now. Because I don't know what to do. It's such an awkward. That's hilarious to have to get on that plane. I guess, obviously, besides Champions League, right? What's the fun part? Is it the beginning of the season, middle of the season, or do the players kind of maybe a little bit distance up front during the beginning of the season, maybe training,
yeah,
like the preseason? What's the funnest part of the job?
I would say definitely the business end of the season when the matches start to really matter.
Yeah.
Because preseason and the tours are a lot of fun because obviously they're there to work, but you have the moments of relaxation as well. You have the moments where it's like, ah, things are good. We can celebrate a bit. Those parts are really, really fun. But it's definitely the business end of the season when the matches start to matter. Because then at the beginning of the season, it's kind of like, listen, this match matters and okay, of course, you're speaking with emotion, and I can present with emotion as well. But when it starts to get to the semifinal stage or the finals, what everyone wants to be at and what the fans are all watching. Those are the moments that you really feel the atmosphere, that you really feel like this is really, really special. But also like the big derby matches, those are also good. The classique.
Mm-hmm.
When the fans are up for it, everyone's kind of like building that kind of, I guess, intensity. Those are the fun moments for me.
Nice. Yeah. What's your favorite away day?
Favorite away day, PSG. That's such a hard question because now that I've been to so many, it's really, really hard to think of one in particular. I would say this whole season in the Champions League away from home was really, really fun because obviously I'm the English speaking host, so obviously I watch a lot of Premier League. And to go there, to go to England, I think at first like Liverpool was just like so, so cool to go to. To go to Anfield, I really don't like Liverpool personally, so for me it just felt extra special. Yeah, it was nice. And then Arsenal, all my friends are Arsenal fans. So that was also kind of nice. And then Villa as well. It was just, I would just say like the whole away experience against the English clubs in the Champions League this season was, that was it for me.
Cool. I want to leave you on this because you've been awesome with your time. I know you're busy as hell. This is usually your off season.
Yeah.
You're working, but hey, at least you get to be in LA. It's not that bad.
Exactly.
And potentially in New York if you guys make it to the semifinal, which I'm sure you will. But I'm gonna leave you on this. When you talk about sort of the away days, right, you first brought up England, and that brought up a question in my mind. Some of the things you hear from English fans sometimes about leagues that aren't the Premier League.
Yeah.
It's hilarious. One of the knocks against Ligue 1 is the fact that they call it a farmer's league.
Yeah.
To see a team that didn't have the Hollywood FC, this was built in the vision of the PSG fans. They wanted people that were Parisians. They wanted people from that represented them on the pitch. Luis Enrique gave them that.
Yeah.
To have that team go to places like Anfield, go to places like the Emirates, and beat those fans, you know, beat the teams that those fans root for, that call Ligue 1 a Farmers League. Was there a little bit extra? Told you so.
Oh, it was special, man. It was special. Like I said, I made that hot take to my friends, and I said, listen, PSG will win if they beat Liverpool.
Right? I already know what the replies were,
right,
bro.
So, hot take, you know, yeah. Okay, whatever. So, that was special, I think, also, just for the club to put PSG on a map in that way that's like, listen, this team deserves respect because they played different in a lot of those matches as well.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't play the same against Liverpool as they did against Arsenal, as they did against Villa. All those matches were different, and some of those matches they had to win really, really ugly. So I think for the club, for the league, it was special. I think even myself, I've been surprised by the league myself because I think it's one of those leagues where the players leave Ligue 1. It's probably the league that transfers one of the best in the world. Like if you're playing Ligue 1, you can go to La Liga, you can go to Serie A, you can go to the Premier League, you can go to Bundesliga, and you're ready because the league is so, so physical. So yeah, I mean, obviously happy for the club, happy for the league, and PSG is for sure on a map now. And for me, it's also just really, really special now to be here in the States for the Club World Cup. And when I first came to PSG, obviously my family would say, the team in Paris, okay. But now it's my son or my grandson or my nephew works for the best club in the world at the moment. And that's just so special.
That's awesome. My mother's never seen me perform stand-up. She doesn't care.
Oh, really?
No, she tells people I'm still looking for work. So the fact that you get that moment is a beautiful thing, man. That is a beautiful thing. David, thank you so much for hanging out. Where can people follow you? Where can people see you hanging out in all these beautiful European cities?
Absolutely. I'm David the host on IG. And besides that, I'm on all the PSG channels.
Nice. Yeah, you can't. If you follow PSG on anything, you can't miss them. Thank you so much for your time.
Easy, bro.
Real quick, yes or no, did you get dots on this trip?
Dots?
Yeah, you said that was your favorite candy.
Oh my God, the way that you just brought that up. I haven't had dots yet. That's so crazy. I haven't had dots yet, but I will.
I tried to get them for you this morning, bro. I was going to surprise you. I didn't get a chance. All right, we got to get him some dots. Thank you for hanging out.
Shout out to David Butler. Thank you so much.
What a great guy.
Joining us. Shout out to everybody at PSG for helping make that happen. Okay, Alexis doesn't.
Yeah, I pointed.
Alexis pointed for all the audio listeners. Yeah.
Yeah. He doesn't want to. Just to keep y'all
involved on what we're doing out here.
I wasn't there, and I'm thanking them, but Alexis.
We're becoming a mime show pretty soon.
So, shout out to David. Thank you, PSG. All right, let's...
David's a lovely fella.
All right, let's talk some transfer news in today's transfer roundup. So, Florian Wirtz, it is official. He is going to Liverpool. And
for how much?
For a whole gang of money. Yeah. What's the final number, Carter?
It was like 108?
No, as far as euros, I think it's one.
The 116 million euros.
116.
What's that in pounds? Do we know?
Because it should be a little less, obviously.
Yeah, it should be less.
So this is an interesting thing. I don't know if you've followed the conspiracy theories around this Florian Wirtz signing.
Hit me.
So basically, who owns Liverpool? FSG. Fenway Sports Group. Fenway Sports Group just traded away their best player, Devers. What's his first name? Rafael Devers.
Boston Red Sox.
Yes. So obviously, Dominican leaving Boston, it's very difficult. It's like basically one of the capitals.
It's your second home.
One of the capitals of the Dominican Republic. So, but Devers, everybody understood. He was part of the World Series winning team a couple years ago. And he is just one of the most important players. He's a player you build your team around. Mm-hmm. Same thing with like Mookie Betts was at Boston. But the conspiracy theory is that the only reason they were basically able or are making the investment to sign Florian Wirtz is because they traded away Rafael Devers for basically nothing. And FSG is saying, hey, World Cup's coming next year. It looks like the tide is turning as far as the popularity of soccer or football, even in the United States, that they are investing more in that than they are in their baseball team.
Wow.
So that is why, that's why when we, Liverpool, notorious for not spending lots of money.
So are they going to change their name to Anfield Sports?
Maybe. So that is what's been going on. A lot of people have been talking about this before, right?
Didn't they... Wasn't the rumor that they traded or couldn't sign Mookie because of this?
I don't know. It could be related.
Yeah.
Carter has the mic. He's not going to speak. But
he hates speaking.
Producer, for some reason, he believes there must be some coordination or some directive.
Yeah.
That everybody, the higher ups at Yahoo are like, do not, you bet. Carter, right? When I hear your voice on that podcast,
right. It's not why we hired you, bro.
But yes,
Yahoo was like, don't you ever dare.
The whole Yahoo family. Yeah. Anyway.
Please let this man speak. What is it? You get a bonus after 5 words? And they're like, you stop at four.
So, but no, I mean, obviously this is it's not even, I think Florian Wirtz is good. I don't know how...
He's incredibly good. He was also the best player available.
Okay.
That was like very obviously going to transfer. So as far as I'm concerned, great job, Liverpool. You've made yourself stronger light of everyone else.
I give credit because usually if it was Florinho.
Yeah. Oh my God. Vertinho, bro? We'd be like, yes.
We would be like, of course.
Of course you're dropping 100.
It's just we're not used to Germans demanding this kind of a fee.
We're all thinking of a World War II joke there. We're not going to say it. So.
I'm just saying, it's just like the bias is there. I mean, we 100%. All know it. You know, if a player has like an American last name or an English last name or whatever, it affects their transfer value. Right, we know that. So, look, I know Florian Wirtz is good, and I hope he does well. I'm shocked at the transfer fee. I'm shocked that it was Liverpool who paid it more than anything.
But he is a player that literally fits their system perfectly, and I think he's going to do extremely well. Can he live up to that money? I think that's left to be seen.
Oh, yeah, and then the other one is Mark Gahey. From Crystal Palace, centre-back, English international.
That's a rumor so
that's
far.
A rumor.
That's not done yet.
There's a couple rumors here. So this one is... Okay, so if Frimpong, Kirkez,
right.
Wirtz, and then possibly Gahey, it looks like they are probably getting him because they're having contract issues with Kwanzaa, Jairo Kwanzaa. And so you can see, obviously, more of a backup piece, you would imagine.
Gahey could potentially be the, I mean, the starter for England. I don't think he's a backup.
I don't think so either. Yeah. This is also one of those things of like why Gahey would even go. I mean, maybe he would get more money, but I think he would get less playing time because to me, it's pretty locked up with Virgil van Dijk and Konate. Yeah. I don't see who's getting in between those. But obviously, there is a fair amount of playing time because of all the competitions that sure. Liverpool are in. So that could be a possibility. Next up, Zubimendi to Arsenal. This is this guy. Here we go. We're waiting for Arsenal to
no
confirm.
No one's made it official except for Fabrizio Romano and right. whoever he got that from. Because we've taken some other people's tweets. But I think Zubimendi in the midfield is a smart choice. I just think he's one of those players that does a great job. But I also think Arsenal fans are like, okay, cool.
Yeah.
So, like, if you told your mom, like, yo, I'm really hungry, and she's like, yo, I got a new vacuum, you'd be like, awesome. I'm really excited
for
you.
Are we eating the vacuum?
Yeah, 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 yeah. I'm really excited for you and your Dyson. But what's up with that sandwich, yo? Like, right now, clearly, a striker and a left winger are top of the list for Arsenal fans.
Yeah, did you see the rumor of where Martinelli might go?
I heard Bayern.
Bayern.
Yeah.
Just like, all right, that's
yo, live your best life, dog.
Alex, I know Alex is happy.
I got no problem with that, bro.
But that's impressive. That's interesting.
That is impressive. As long as Arsenal has someone to back it up. And now I made two hot takes when I was in LA, right? One of them is that I would rather have Rafa Leão instead of Martinelli.
Okay.
On the left. I just think he's a much more of a dynamic player.
Yeah.
And the things that Martinelli seemingly is afraid to do or has sort of lost touch with that ability, Leão has in spades, right? The kid's just good.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm sorry I cursed there, by the way. I'm sorry, Carter, you can't speak, but you don't have to do that. But also, Osimhen. Imagine Osimhen on the left, Šeško up top, Saka on the right. Bro, it's crazy.
I don't love it. Osimhen needs to be in the middle.
He's good off the left as well, bro. All right. Also, Šeško and him could swap throughout the game, bro.
Okay.
I think it's automatic.
All right, we got another delusional Arsenal fan.
I mean, yo, this is the first time, long time. I'm going to suggest a trade, then I'm going to hang up and listen to the ends.
Okay. Welcome to Talk Sport.
Yeah.
All right. Paul Pogba to Monaco. This is being reported.
I don't care what team it is. It's just Paul Pogba being back.
Yeah. I'm happy to see Paul Pogba playing again. I believe there were talks, and I don't know how close they were, but to DC United, which would have been another just a fun introduction to the league. Yeah. And just like just to have Paul Pogba in Major League Soccer would have just been so fun. So him going to Monaco, obviously in France. It's Monaco, France.
It's technically its own country,
right?
Its own Commonwealth or whatever.
But that has to be. It's one of those like this is where we funnel our money to just.
Oh, buddy. You know, players who play for Monaco pay 0% tax.
Lovely.
Let's get on Monaco. Is what I'm saying.
The Monaco-ligans.
Yeah, buddy.
Let's do it. So seeing him back would be lovely, and him playing in Ligue 1, he just needs to get back. He needs to get minutes, and
that's all I care about.
We just want to see what he still has.
The game's better with him in it, and he's what, 32?
I don't know how old he is. Our mute producer, yeah, is gonna. We muted his microphone.
Our mime producer.
Spot on there. Alexis 32. Is 32.
32 years old. You got 2-3 years left because he hasn't played in a while.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure.
If he could stay healthy, that'd be great. What about Tottenham bringing in a big name?
So this
there?
Is another rumor that seems pretty interesting. Eberechi Eze to Tottenham. This there's part of me that I think, especially after the FA Cup and seeing his success, seeing his cousin on SNL wearing his jersey after
seeing his other cousin on our show.
On our show. And watching him play, he obviously scored the only goal in the FA Cup final. And he is on, I think, the precipice of something big, whether that's going to a new club, whether that is, playing in Europa League with Crystal Palace or whatever. There's something about Tottenham, with all due respect to our producer, there's just something about where it's just like, no, this is not where you take this is not where you, this is not your next move. This is not the next step.
This is going to sound crazy to Carter. Is Tottenham a step up from Crystal Palace?
On the table, no, it's a step below. Technically,
sure, but I mean, I know you hate the argument of bigger club.
Yeah.
But is that a step up going to Tottenham? I don't think so. Not at the moment.
Yeah, I mean, look, he'd play in Champions.
You're in Champions League.
Champions League versus Europa. Thomas Frank is the coach.
If Thomas Frank wants you, for good reason. The guy's read every stat.
Yeah,
sabermetric stat.
But I mean, there's something to me. SA is he could be at Man City. He could be at
Bayern.
He could be at Bayern.
Yeah, he could be.
He's that good.
Yeah, he could be at any major Champions League club.
Yeah. So that's where you just don't want a player like that.
It feels like a lateral move is the point I'm trying to make.
Sure. Yeah, it feels like it would,
unless your wages go crazy.
Him playing at Crystal Palace, the demands are not the same, right? The pressure is not the same,
right?
The scrutiny is not the same, and he would face that at Tottenham, but it would be in like a really negative spotlight because of every Tottenham blah 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 and all the stuff.
Right, it's a very pessimistic viewpoint.
Right. Club. And yeah. I just feel like he just seems like such a happy guy. Did you see the video that he did with that kid that does the quick shuffle?
Yeah.
And I saw how much he was giggling and laughing.
Yeah,
he's not going to be doing that wearing a Tottenham shirt. You can't giggle in a Tottenham shirt.
No, you can't giggle, bro.
You're not allowed, bro.
There's a dark cloud over your head. You know,
we want giggly Eze.
Yeah,
and that's not what Tottenham
offers. Once the beer goes through the bottom of the cup, like it happens in the stadium, it just ruins everything. Is upside down now.
Okay, what is Stranger Things, bro?
Yeah, that's the upside. That's the what is it? The upside down?
Upside down, bro.
Oh, damn, Daniel Levy's the Demogorgon, bro.
Okay, I think many Tottenham fans would not disagree.
Yeah, yo, Tottenham fans, listen, like, I think Alexis and Christian got it spot on, bro.
All right, so let's wrap up there, everybody.
Damn, what's the girl's name on the show?
11.
How many players are on a pitch? Damn, bro.
Wow.
Yo. I don't even know what we just did there.
This is so strange.
Yeah.
There's a black kid on Stranger Things. Eze's black, bro.
Damn.
We got it here,
damn,
bro.
Damn. Yo, the show took place in the 70s, right?
Yeah.
That was the last time Tottenham won a trophy before.
Wow, the connections are all
there.
Yo,
it's crazy. I mean, that connection, don't worry about it. We're rounding up. See, until last season, obviously.
Okay.
Damn.
Thank you, everybody, for tuning in. Shout out to David Butler for hanging out with Alexis out in Los Angeles. Angeles.
Made it sound like you hired him as my babysitter.
you changed a couple nappies.
Yeah, hell yeah, dog. I needed that.
So
threw my legs up and I said something bad happened.
Yeah, so shout out to David, PSG. Well, best of luck to PSG in the rest of their Club World Cup.
Yeah.
They lost in their last game, which was
crazy.
Very big shock. They lost to Botafogo.
Shouts to the South American teams, man, who've been absolutely balling.
Yeah, we're going to talk some Club World Cup, a lot more Club World Cup in the next episode. We're going to be going to a game tonight, Porto Al-Ahly out at MetLife. So that's going to that's going to be very fun.
I think I bought this Al-Ahly jersey.
so we'll talk about that experience, and we'll talk about the completion of the group stage for the Club World Cup on Thursday's episode. So make sure you tune in for that as well. All right. Make sure you follow us everywhere. Hit the like button. Hit subscribe. Follow us at Soccer Cooligans.
Hit the little bell, too. Once you hit the subscribe button, a little bell pops up.
Exactly.
Click on that bad boy for us.
All right.
That way you can be made aware of when our next
episode.
Hitting
the bell is free, too. We took away the fee. It was $45 before.
Right.
And now, for you, we're actually going to give you a deal. It's gonna be a free bell. Click on the
100%
bell.
100% off. And you know what? Honestly, it's such a good discount. You should probably just send us $45.
just out of guilt.
Yeah.
You're getting
such
a good
100%.
Deal. 100%. All right.
You know when you get like a free thing at a restaurant and then you tip while heavy, so it's like you paid for it anyway?
That's the move, all right?
Do that.
All right. Follow us on Instagram at Soccer Cooligans, Blue Sky as well. And remember, Sunday after the USMNT against Costa Rica match, we're going to be here in studio doing the show live for you with Yahoo and the crew. So come through.
The whole crew quiet, though.
Yeah, nobody allowed to talk.
Shush. Okay. You ain't talent.
No eye contact either, bro. We're gonna act like the divas everybody thinks we are.
And I know I requested a bowl of red M&Ms, but if I see a red M&M, someone's getting fired.
Okay, I changed my. I'm not allowed to change my mind.
Damn! What you saying? I'm a monolithic thought.
All right, we'll see you on Thursday, and we'll see you Sunday for the live show. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in. Peace.
Love you guys.